What's your favorite scary movie?
Welcome to 13 Degrees of Screams,
where we watch and dissect your favorite spooky movies.
I'm your host, Alex.
And Stephanie.
And this is a mostly horror podcast.
This week, we hunt a shark in Jaws.
Stephanie.
Yes.
Jaws. Have you seen it?
No.
This is the first time?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
That was a little dumb.
Dumb?
A little dumb. I mean, them actually like out in the water hunting the shark. That was pretty good. The opening with the town and everything, didn't like them. Thought they were all dumb.
Oh, no. Well, okay, yeah.
Because they're like, so what? There's a little blood in the water. Like, it's just a paper. Summer blowout. Like,
yeah. It's just a paper cut. Yeah, no. I mean, okay. So here's the thing about Jaws. I mentioned this later in our background, but I remember vividly watching a show. I forgot what channel it's on, but it was like top 100 scariest movie moments of all time. Jaws was number one, Stephanie. You know how to prevent being killed by a shark?
Don't go in the ocean.
Don't go in the ocean. I'm not walking around on a daily basis like, I hope I don't get eaten by a shark today. You know what I'm saying?
And I remember you sent this video because you were very mad about the results. You were like, what?
It's like, okay, so here's the situation. If I was on the ocean and I saw a shark, of course I'd be scared.
Yeah. However, not everyone's a sailor in their regular day life.
Yeah. On my day to day, I'm not worried about a shark. Like, I'm worried about literally anything else before a shark.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what are you doing?
It might as well have been like scariest movie would be like one of those old slapstick comedies where they drop a piano or something on the person and you're like, ah!
I'd be more afraid of that happening to me.
That's a possibility. Like,
not a shark. Watch, a shark falls on me tomorrow. Oh my God.
I hope not. Unless Sharknado is a thing.
Don't put that out in the universe.
No.
Don't do it.
I wouldn't like Sharknado either.
But yeah, I think the movie's fun. It's a fun, older, like, adventure-y movie.
Mm-hmm.
But summer blockbuster vibes. And by vibes, I mean that's what that was, a summer blockbuster.
For sure.
It's just, on a scariness scale, like, I'm just going to tell, I gave it a one. I'm like, this is not scary. It's a shark.
Yeah.
I actually like sharks. I think they're cool looking. I'm not afraid of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can't be nervous about them unless I'm, like, actually in their environment, so.
Yeah, then for sure. Yeah, then of course that's scary.
Yeah.
But, like, as a movie, I'm like, I'm not worried about this. So,
not really.
Yeah. I did like it, though. I had seen it before when I was younger, but I haven't watched it in a long time. But I do like it.
Okay.
I mean, okay, I will say the end, when they're actually hunting him, I feel like that's a little long.
It's a very long time.
The last, like, 20 minutes, I'm like, we could have just stuck to that. Like, that was really nice.
I don't know. I think I like them all better as characters on the second half rather than I did in the very beginning.
That's fair. I like the threat to the everyday person. Like, I like the instances where people are being attacked, not so much them just, like, sitting around in a boat.
Looking for it. Yeah. I guess that's fair. I don't mind that. I just think it's like, come on, can we at least acknowledge that people are dying and somebody was mauled so badly that they only had a shoebox worth of remains of her left?
Yeah, it's fine.
They're like, it's all about the money. That was just a boating accident.
Yeah,
this
fine.
Is 4th of July, people.
I mean, again, we kind of talked about this last episode where everyone's just terrible. And they're just focused on the money.
Mm.
So whatever it takes to make money, shark or otherwise.
Yeah, I guess.
But you thought it was just dumb overall?
At least the beginning.
Okay.
I actually thought, like, most of the attacks and stuff like that, like, with the shark, considering, like, the 70s and stuff were really realistic looking. And
doo-dun.
To me, so.
Doo-dun.
Doo-dun.
That's all iconic. Like, everyone knows what that is.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Like, everyone can play it on the piano. Jaws. It's just two keys.
Like, everyone could do that. It's like, this is fun.
Well, legit. It's like EF, EF over and over again on the bottom. Yeah.
Are you ready to hear some movie background?
Yeah.
So, Jaws is a 1975 American thriller film directed by Steven Spielberg based on Peter Benchley's 1974 novel. The story follows Police Chief Martin Brody, a marine biologist, and a shark hunter as they attempt to hunt down a man-eating great white shark terrorizing a summer resort town. And again, that makes it sound like it was on land, going door to door, stabbing people.
Right, right. And honestly, they just needed to close the beach and just accept that.
Yeah, it was not terrorizing your town. It was terrorizing the water by your
because
town.
It's where it lives.
Yeah, it's just, and you know what? Oh, you know, we'll get there when we get to the plot. I want to hold my tongue for now. We'll get there when we get there in the plot. Mm-hmm. But anyways, the film's screenplay is credited to Benchley and Carl Gottlieb, with most of the shooting taking place on location at Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts.
Oh, interesting.
The production of Jaws faced numerous challenges, including going over budget and schedule due to malfunctioning mechanical sharks. As a result, Spielberg chose to suggest the shark's presence rather than show it outright, using an ominous theme by composer John Williams. Which we all know John Williams, right? Oh, Stephanie. Harry Potter.
Oh.
Home Alone.
Oh, got you.
Yeah. Star Wars.
Wow, okay. I was doing Home Alone, honestly.
He also did... I know you were doing Home Alone. Indiana Jones.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Dude. John Williams is my favorite.
Okay.
I mean, everyone...
Obviously, yeah, he makes iconic stuff.
Right. Apparently. So anyways, John Williams, perfect. Love him.
I did like... I'm sorry, we will get to the plot.
I don't think so.
I did like, but also felt like a little weird that anytime that they were trying to do anything that wasn't catching the shark, like, directly, they just broke into, like, this whimsy music of, like, them on the ocean. And I was like, what kind of Disney music is this in Jaws?
It's like an adventure. I feel like Jaws isn't really a horror movie.
Yeah.
Like, thriller, sure, but I just find it adventure-y.
Like, yeah, it was just a weird shift. Like, it would go from doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo to be like, oh, on the open sea kind of thing. Like,
that was Jaws playing that music to lure you in. It's like, it's fine, guys. Come on in.
Water's fine.
Water's nice. The film's release to over 450 screens by Universal Pictures was accompanied by an extensive marketing campaign, making it a major success. Jaws is considered a pivotal moment in film history, setting the standard for the summer blockbuster and influencing the modern Hollywood business model. It was the highest-grossing film of all time until the release of Star Wars and won several awards for its music and editing. Additionally, the film's artistic inspiration can be traced back to Herman Melville's Moby Dick, drawing parallels between Quint and Captain Ahab.
Oh, yes.
So a whale or a shark.
Mm-hmm.
Pick your poison.
Depending, I guess. They can both be dangerous.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
The film's impact extended beyond entertainment, as it was reported to have caused cinematic neurosis in a 17-year-old viewer while in theaters. This case study contributed to the film's notability in the medical community, leading to research on the stress reactions it induced in audiences. Subsequent studies found that Jaws, along with other violent films, The Exorcist being one of them.
That would make sense. This one, I don't know.
Yeah. Studies found that Jaws, along with other violent films, could elicit intense stress responses in viewers, although the exact cause remains unclear. I'm like, what?
I just think the teenager wasn't having a good day.
Yeah, let's just put him over the top.
I don't know. Maybe, but it was the 70s. It's not even like they had 3D glasses or anything. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Because of the big screen, it made it probably look more like it was coming at you rather than like watching it on your screen at home, I guess. But
I was reading a little bit into that, and allegedly, I don't know how true this is, he was like screaming shark in the middle of the day, like just walking down the street.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so I don't know. Take that with a grain of salt. But
All right.
He's like, shark! Just like walking down the sidewalk.
That poor man, okay.
In years since its release, Jaws has frequently been cited by film critics and industry professionals as one of the greatest movies of all time. And I just have a list of things it was listed in. So number 48 on American Film Institute's 100 Years, 100 Movies, a list of the greatest American films of all time compiled in 1998. But it has dropped to number 56 in the 10th anniversary list. So it's kind of slipping. AFI also ranked the shark at number 18 on the list of the 50 best villains. Roy Scheider's line, "You're gonna need a bigger boat," was 35th on a list of top 100 movie quotes. Williams score at 6th on the list of 100 years of film scores, and the film as 2nd on a list of 100 most thrilling films, only behind Psycho.
Hmm.
In 2003, the New York Times included the film on a list of the best 1,000 movies ever made. The following year, Jaws placed at the top of Bravo Network's 5-hour miniseries, 100 Scariest Movie Moments, which we already talked about.
Alex is very sad.
I'm
upset.
Exorcist was 3, mm-hmm. and then Aliens was 2, yeah. and then Jaws. No. Anyways, Jaws has a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes with a critical consensus stating, compelling, well-crafted storytelling and a judicious sense of terror ensures Steven Spielberg's Jaws has remained a benchmark in the art of delivering modern blockbuster thrills.
Okay.
Sure. Somebody's not impressed. She's like, bullshit. Boring.
Sharkies.
Cancel. Yeah, sharkies. I do like sharks. I do think they're kind of cute. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, I don't find most sea creatures, at least like the more common ones, not like the creepy ones at the deep at the end of the sea. That one, those ones will fuck me up. But like, you know, like your basic orcas and sharks and stuff like that, like people are scared of them for I don't know what reason.
I mean, I can see, you know, being afraid of a shark just because it could be dangerous, but they're not like that dangerous. You're going to be fine. Just leave it alone.
Just don't go and like try to tango with them. Like, yeah. Legit. Like,
they're just vibing, living their life. And here you are.
Yeah. Interrupting their space.
Yeah. Stop it.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready to get into the plot?
Yes.
In the New England town of Amity Island, we see a young woman go for a late night ocean swim during a beach party where an unseen force attacks and pulls her underwater.
Stephanie, what do you think it is?
Probably. A dog.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking of the ghost.
Yeah, it could be a ghost.
Yeah.
Her remains are found washed up on the beach the next day. After the medical examiner concluded it was a shark attack, newly hired police chief Martin Brody works tirelessly to close the beaches. And then immediately, Mayor Larry Vaughn persuades him to reconsider.
This dude.
Fearing the town's summer economy will suffer.
Ah, this guy.
Like, this girl don't have a head anymore. Like, she is missing everything but her one arm. Like,
she just partied too hard. It was, you know, it was just bound to happen.
Yeah, she just fell off a boat.
Yeah. And her head chopped off when it hit the side.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah. They're like, it's okay. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's just, like, the shark's probably full now.
What shark, Stephanie? Right. There's no shark.
Right.
Everything's fine.
The coroner, apparently under pressure, now concurs with the mayor's theory that it was a boating accident. Brody reluctantly accepts their conclusion until soon after a boy, Alex Kintner, is killed at a crowded beach.
That was sad.
Yeah, and I kept confusing his son with other children. And I was like, that's definitely his son out there. He just grabbed a raft and he went out there. And I was like, I guess it's not his son anymore.
He has 2 sons. And for the longest time, I thought he only had the one.
I could recognize the smaller one. But yeah, the bigger one, I was like, every child could be his son.
I thought that too. And it was not.
Yeah.
But it was so sad when the mom was like trying to find him. I was like,
yeah.
Ugh.
And honestly, too, they really should have considered closing the beaches when you consider the amount of crowds that they have in the beach, too. Like, people were, like, pushing each other over out of their rafts and stuff like that to get out of the water because they're afraid of the shark, obviously.
Yep.
It could have just been, like, another, like, people trying to get into a mall on Black Friday situation where people are crushed and drowned because they're terrified and trying to get out.
So, like, the shark had 1 fatality while 10 other people died. Just because there were so many people.
Yes.
Like, the shark's not the problem anymore. It's just the overcrowding.
Right.
Larry.
So, a bounty is placed on the shark. And I was like, okay. How do we find the one shark that did this? I was like, this is the ocean.
There's more than one shark in the world.
Right. They're acting like their little slice of beach is just like, oh, just one shark just got in there. I don't know how. Like, it's their own private pool.
Yeah. I mean... I don't know what happened.
Look, that's kind of, I guess that's how they thought of it. So, yeah, they assume that they can find this one shark, and it causes an amateur shark hunting frenzy. Quint, an eccentric and roughened local shark hunter, offers his services for $10,000. Consulting oceanographer Matt Hooper arrives and examines the girl's remains, confirming that an abnormally large shark killed her.
Thanks. Thanks for confirming.
Yes, we see the bite marks.
There's teeth marks. We kind of figured.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks.
The mayor sucks. That's what we got here.
Yeah, that's what it is.
When local fishermen catch a tiger shark, the mayor declares the beach is safe, even though it's unlikely that this is the same shark. I'm like, man, you don't even know that you have the right shark. And you just see one hanging up there and you're like, yep, all good now. Like, so they might as well have just got a stuffed animal of a shark. And they're like, we got it. Oh, we got the one. I went to SeaWorld and got this one. Oh. I think we're all good here.
Exactly. I just picked one out. It goes to show there's more than one shark. So, okay, right. You killed this one shark. You just got to get attacked by another one.
Right. Even if it was the one, like, obviously you just have shark-infested waters. Maybe they're not swimming safe. Or maybe you should put, like, a boundary or something or a net so then they can't get through to the shore.
You'd think.
Maybe. But no.
No, that makes too much sense.
Yes. Mrs. Kittner confronts Brody and blames him for her son's death. And I feel bad for him because he really sympathizes for her.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she's just like, yeah, it's your fault.
I'd be like, talk to Larry.
Yeah, like, Larry's the one that's like, your son's death means nothing.
Money.
Right.
Give me your money.
A skeptical Hooper dissects the tiger shark that night, finding no human remains inside its stomach, and determines a larger shark killed the victims. While searching the night waters in Hooper's boat, Hooper and Brody find the half-sunken vessel of Ben Gardner, a local fisherman. Underwater, Hooper removes a sizable shark tooth from the boat's hull, but accidentally drops it after discovering Gardner's severed head.
Ooh.
And Vaughn completely dismisses what they found because he dropped the tooth. He's like, oh, I found a great white shark tooth. Okay, let's see it. Well, no, I dropped it because there's a fucking dead body out there.
Then didn't exist.
Then he's like, yeah, no, he didn't get it.
Okay, I was just making that up then, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, I'm an oceanographer. It's like literally my profession, but okay.
But that's fine.
Yeah, so he dismisses their assertions that it could be a great white shark that's caused the deaths, refusing to close the beaches, and allowing only increased safety precautions. And, I mean, I guess there's a few more police officers, and they send a helicopter, but...
What is a helicopter going to do
right.
when a shark comes and bites somebody?
Right, it's going to fly down and, like, boom. Like
at that point, it's too late. Like,
yeah.
A shark can't, like, it's going to bite you. It's
done.
It's done.
You just have a good eye view of it happening.
Yeah, the police will be like, hey, arrest that shark. He just bit somebody.
It's that one.
It's that one. It's a completely different one flowing yeah. by again.
Yes.
Like, that now.
Mm-hmm. On the 4th of July weekend, tourists pack the beaches. The shark enters a nearby lagoon, killing a boater and causing Brody's son to go to the hospital to be treated for shock.
Yeah, I was very confused about this. So was this like a separated area of water? Because they called it a pond.
Yeah. I assumed it wasn't attached, maybe because the little kid said it was for the old ladies. So I'm assuming it just was attached to the ocean, but so shallow that it was assumed it wasn't going to be in that water.
Yeah, but he was.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that shallow, I guess.
I guess not. Because really.
Like, it was a fucking huge ass shark. How did he get in there?
I don't know.
It's like, hey.
But at one point, Brody, after doing some research on this, after he asks, I think it was Hooper, if it's true that most shark attacks happen in 3 feet of water. And he said yes. So I'm guessing that's like a connection there.
Oh.
I don't know.
Don't go in the pond.
Yeah. I don't know why they called it a pond or a lagoon or whatever, but it was definitely connected to the ocean, so no one should have been there.
Yeah, because they were fine with letting their son into that part.
Yeah.
Which is probably...
Doesn't seem that much different, no.
Yeah, it's still water.
Seems like a shark could swim there.
In the water that's yeah. connected to the other water. Right?
Yeah, I guess so, huh?
Fuck if I know, I guess.
Right. It's weird that the shark doesn't respect this area.
Not in the pond. You could kill people here, but not the
mayor
pond.
Says it's okay.
He really does, though.
Yes. Brody then convinces a guilt-ridden Vaughn to hire Quint. Despite tension between Quint and Hooper, they and Brody head to sea on Quint's boat to hunt the shark. As Brody lays down a chum line, the shark suddenly appears behind the boat.
Hey, guys.
Hey, thanks for the lunch. I like it. Quint estimating it is 25 feet long and weighs about 3 tons. harpoons it with a line attached to a flotation barrel, but the shark pulls the barrel underwater and disappears.
Okay, bye.
Okay, thanks.
He's like, ow, why did you do that?
Why? I thought we were friends.
I said nice boat. What the hell?
Right. You gave me a snack.
Oh my God.
At nightfall, Clint and Hooper drunkenly exchange stories about their assorted body scars. One of Clint's is a removed tattoo, and he reveals that he survived the attack on the USS Indianapolis. It was a very harrowing story, honestly, but they just kind of like cut it briefly in these notes. So,
yeah. Huh. Eh. Interesting.
Supposedly, a lot of the men died from shark attacks. At least that's how they're playing it. The shark then returns, ramming the boat's hull and disabling the power. The men work together to repair the engine. In the morning, Brody attempts to call the Coast Guard, but Quint, obsessed with killing the shark without outside assistance, smashes the radio.
I was so confused. I'm like, what are you doing? I was like,
what's that doing for everyone?
Like, everyone needs help sometimes.
I know. I was like, I didn't understand that that was what his motive was. I had to look it up.
Yeah, I was like, what are you doing, sir?
You don't want help? Like, your boat's about to sink. You think you're going to just be able to kill this thing in the water?
Apparently. That's exactly what he thought.
I guess.
I was like, sir, please. Mm-hmm. Like, you could have the final blow, but please, just, like, let someone help you.
Right. Maybe get on someone else's boat, and then he could do that.
Yeah.
After a long chase, Clint harpoons the shark with another barrel. The line is tied to the stern cleats, but the shark drags the boat backward, swamping the deck and flooding the engine compartment. As Quint is about to sever the line to save the boat's transom, the cleats break off. The barrels stay attached to the shark. To Brody's relief, Quint heads toward the shore to draw the shark into shallower waters, but he pushes the engine too hard and it fails.
Womp womp.
Again, he seems like he does this on purpose because Hooper's like behind him the whole time, like, stop it, stop doing that, please. And he's just like pushing the engine. And again, I'm like, I don't know. This man just has a death wish, I guess.
Yeah, he's obsessed, kind of like what I was saying in the notes earlier.
Like Ahab?
Yeah, because I actually never read Moby Dick, but isn't he like kind obsessed
of
with...
like, I'm going to die killing this thing kind of thing? I guess. I don't know. I don't know it.
You don't know the Moby Dick?
I know the white whale, but...
You don't know the Dickster?
The Dickster, no.
Mobius Dickius?
Not personally.
Oh, man.
As the boat takes on water, the trio attempts a riskier approach. Hooper suits up and enters a shark-proof cage. And I was like, this is obviously not going to work.
No. I'm like, why do you think this is going to be? He's taking down this ship.
Right.
Like,
right.
Maybe not put yourself in a cage.
And as soon as they put this on board, they're like, you think this shark's not going to eat it? And he, like, freaks out. He's like, yeah, but it's the only thing we got. I'm like, still, it's not worth it. Like, let's not do this.
Yeah, you could just go home. And just tell people not to go in the water.
Right. We don't even have to be out here if we could just let the shark be a shark.
Right. Just living its life.
Mm-hmm.
No, can't have that happen.
Nah. Hooper suits up and enters a shark-proof cage, intending to lethally inject the shark with strychnine? Strychnine?
Barbara Streisand.
Barbara Streisand. Streisand with a hypodermic spear. The shark viciously attacks the cage, causing Hooper to drop the spear. While the shark destroys the cage, Hooper escapes further and underwater. The shark leaps onto the sinking boat's stern, pushing the boat down diagonally and subsequently devouring Quint.
Bye.
And it just seemed like a very slow, like, fall down into the shark's mouth.
He's like, oh no, I'm falling. No. I'm still falling.
Oh no.
Oh, I'm sliding. Oh no. Oh no. I'm still sliding.
I guess I'll just put my feet in his mouth. Like,
Let me help you out.
No, he fights a little bit, but not enough, honestly.
What are you going to do, I guess, at that point?
I guess. But once the shark, like, clamps down on him, it seems real painful. I didn't like that.
You didn't like someone being eaten by a shark?
No, it didn't look nice.
I loved it.
Didn't look too...
It was my favorite.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Favorite scene.
I actually fantasize about that. Some days I'm like, you know what would be really great? Just being eaten by a fucking shark today. It'd be better than doing whatever I'm doing right now.
Oh, my. Wow. Okay.
What?
Nothing. I mean, to each their own, if that's what you fantasize about. Okay. Trapped on the sinking vessel, Brody shoves a scuba tank into the shark's mouth and, climbing onto the crow's nest, shoots the tank with a rifle. The resulting explosion kills the shark. Cooper resurfaces, so he and Brody paddle back to Amity Island, clinging to the remaining barrels.
Man, I was rooting for Jaws, though.
Yeah.
I might kill these fools.
I was kind of expecting him to still be kicking after it, honestly.
After he exploded?
After the explosion,
yeah. After you saw his body blow up?
Yeah. I don't know how. I just assumed that they would, I don't know, he'd, like, reappear and he'd have, like, one eye missing or something.
Stephanie, we saw his body explode.
Like a cloud of blood. It wasn't, like...
We just saw him get vaporized. Yeah. He'll be fine.
But then we saw, like, a part of his fin, so I thought maybe, like, a good chunk of him somehow still survived.
Just his ass, really.
I guess so, yeah.
So, I mean, if that's somehow able to survive.
It just keeps going.
Yeah, just keeps going.
Just the shark's ass. Shark 2, Jaws' ass. Or no, Jaws 2, just an ass. Just an ass.
Oh my god. There are Jaws sequels.
I know there is.
And I don't think it's about just the butt, not just the booty hole. Oh my god. Yeah, it was bad he died though. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
He just killed his animal. He was just hungry.
You know.
Just don't go in the water. Like, it's not that hard.
Yeah, I feel like they could have done a lot more repercussion. I guess there was nothing to solve it for that day. No. Which I guess no one was patient enough for that. Even though, like, six people died or whatever.
Right.
But, yeah, like, they could have built, like, a little retaining wall or something to separate the water. I don't know. Something. They could have put...
Jail? They could have threw him in jail?
Made little bars or something where it'd be harder for him to get through. Put signs up that it is shark-infested waters, by the way, just in case anything does get through.
Yeah, you have to sign a waiver. If you get eaten, it's not my problem. Like, at your own risk.
Right, but still.
But no, they're like, let's kill this animal.
Yeah.
Just living.
Mm-hmm.
Bitch.
Even though everyone's out there looking so tasty, like on all their rafts, just floating around. And we all know that when people are swimming on rafts, they look like seals.
Right.
To the sharks, and that's why they eat them.
They're like, brah, I thought you were something else.
I was disappointed. You were not a seal. Like,
right. If I had known you were a human, I would have left you alone.
Yeah.
But no... Anyways, Jaws was the hero, and the people should have died.
Yeah. Jaws, too, just the ass.
Just the ass. Fun, though. Just a booty hole.
Just, like, hops up on surface and just beats people with the tail.
Or farts in their face.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That's killer.
Fish farts.
Ooh. Are ready to hear some examples of shark attacks?
Sure.
Ooh. All right. So, the first one I have is the Jersey shark attacks of 1916. First of all, before I start, I looked at, you know, shark attacks in history, and
it's not that many. No. So that's why it's funny to make this, like, into this big, like, horror picture, like it's actually, like, an epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't happen that often. But we have some good notable instances of this happening. This one being in 1916. So, the series of shark attacks that occurred along the coastal shore of New Jersey between July 1st and 12th in 1916 resulted in 4 fatalities and 1 injured victim. The spike in human activity at the waterside due to a heat wave and polio epidemic in the United States drew more people to the shore, inadvertently attracting sharks to the area and leading to the infamous Jersey shark attacks in this year. The first attack took place on July 1st, claiming the life of 28-year-old Charles Vincent, who was visiting New Jersey on vacation. While taking a swim before dinner, Vincent fell victim to the shark attack, resulting in severe injuries that ultimately led to his death in the resort's hotel. Just 5 days later, on July 6th, Swiss bellman Captain Charles Bruder became the next victim when he was attacked while swimming 130 yards from shore, succumbing to his injuries before reaching the beach. The subsequent attacks occurred at Madawin Creek on July 12th. A group of boys playing in the stream noticed what they thought was a board or log, but turned out to be the shark's dorsal fin. The shark pulled 11-year-old Stillwell underwater, and despite rescue efforts, he tragically lost his life. I know. 11 years old, that sucks.
Yeah.
Also, what are you doing in a stream? What's happening here?
Oh, yeah. In a stream.
Just swimming up. It's like, hey, guys, what's going on? Just checking these waters.
Oh, hey, don't touch me.
That is not a board or a log. It is my fin. Fisher Watson, attempting to retrieve Stillwell's body from the water, was also bitten by the shark and later passed away from his injuries.
Shit.
On the same day, Joseph Dunn, a 14-year-old, survived an attack in which he sustained a leg wound and was successfully rescued by his brother and a friend. Dunn was hospitalized and eventually recovered several months later.
Oh, shoot.
And that was, like, one of the worst ones.
Yeah.
Like, four? I mean, that sucks. Four people died, but, like, that was, like...
Where it kept happening.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah. But maybe also we should just not go in the water there.
Yeah, you'd think. But, again...
That stream is that shark's.
Although, to be honest, could you imagine just being in, like, a stream and just, like, oh, damn, there's a shark here.
Yeah, I guess so. Like,
I would not have expected that.
I guess so that's true.
That I'll give a pass to.
Yeah, maybe that's why they touched it, because they were just like, oh, what the fuck is this?
Poking him with a stick.
Yeah.
What is that? What the hell? And then I looked up an article of the top 10 most horrific shark attacks that actually happened. And number one was the USS Indianapolis in 1945.
Ah, yes. Quint's story.
Yeah, I didn't put that together that this was the same thing.
No.
At first. So it stated the United States Navy had never suffered a single loss of life at sea as great as the sinking of the USS Indianapolis, and sharks played a large role in that. The ship was delivering parts for the first atomic bomb used in combat, which would later be dropped on Japan. On its return, however, it was hit by Japanese torpedoes and sank in 12 minutes. About 900 men were sent into the shark-infested waters of the Pacific Ocean, while the remaining 300 or so went down with the ship. When rescuers finally arrived, the sharks had eaten much of the crew. Only 317 people survived the disaster, many of whom told chilling tales of hearing blood-curdling screams in the middle of the night as sharks attacked their fellow sailors.
Yikes.
Can you imagine? Like, that's scary.
Yeah.
Like, just...
Well, also, like, the exhaustion of being in the water for mm-hmm. that long. Like, I think they were out there for, like, almost a week.
Oh, my God.
Or something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, before they realized that they hadn't returned or whatever. Or it was at least a few days.
Yeah.
Oh. And a lot of them, I know, succumbed to salt poisoning, too, from the ocean. Like, they were just so dehydrated. Yeah.
Yikes.
And some people... resorted to cannibalism because they kind of went like a little crazy. They thought like they were the enemy, and sometimes they got pulled away by people calling them. They thought they were like their loved ones. Oof. Or rescue attempts. So yeah, obviously sharks too.
Yeah, but this is all about the shark stuff. We don't care about these other crazy bullshit things that happened. Yeah. Just the sharks.
Yeah.
I am afraid of open water though, like the thought of open water and just being in the dark.
Yeah.
With no lights and just knowing there's sharks.
That's why I was like so surprised so many people went for night swims in this movie too. I was like, there are no lights.
What do you do?
If you get pulled under, you will not see shit.
Like, no, you won't know which way's up. Probably.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but no. They don't care. Throw caution to the wind.
It's romantic to go for a night swim.
Yes. I did actually pull up some shark attack statistics from a 2023 report. So the Florida Museum of Natural History's International Shark Attack File investigated 120 alleged shark-human interactions worldwide in 2023. They confirmed that 69 unprovoked shark attack bites on humans and 22 provoked bites. So unprovoked bites just meaning a shark came up and was like, hey, bitch, and then bit them. Yeah. There's only 69 worldwide.
Oh, okay. Alleged. I mean, not bad, but it's happening.
Yeah, I'm sure there's more, but this is what they gathered. Provoked bites, meaning someone was fucking around with the shark, 22. And then some additional ones. There were 9 boat bites on top of it.
So. Oh, maybe just trying to pull them in from, I don't know. It says in the provoked ones, it's from like trying to unhook them. So if they like caught them while fishing. So
oh,
I wonder
yeah.
what the boat bites are. Maybe they actually like attacked the boat.
Yeah, I think they came up to the boat and was like, hey.
Hey.
What are you? Oh, it's a boat. Okay.
Oh, and 16 non-confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, damn. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, it totals out to 120.
Yeah.
Still not a ton worldwide.
Out of all the ways you could be killed.
Yeah.
Like, a shark is, like, the least thing.
Right.
So, in summation, if you're in shark-infested waters, don't
get
do that. Yeah, get out. What are you doing?
Right.
Goodbye.
Who are you?
This is avoidable.
Yes.
Really. Just please, highly avoidable.
Please go.
Thank you for listening. If you listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, giving us a 5-star rating is super helpful, and we always appreciate it.
You can find us on social media at 13 Degrees of Screams.
This has been 13 Degrees of Screams, and we will see you next week.
Doo-doo. 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 Doo-doo.
Oh!